Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest, and we are going to put such a fun, exciting spotlight on the Southwest tonight for this Wildcat graduate. I am a Wildcat fan. I am a graduate of the University of Arizona. I'm proud to say that this show is made possible due to some support from the University of Arizona, which is ranked as one of the top universities in the world as leaders in the science of climate change, climate adaptation, and associated research and outreach related to climate change. What the University of Arizona wants to do and is doing is creating this vast amount of knowledge through the people that they're hiring, doing the research, and then figuring out ways, every way they can, to get the word out to the masses, to the public. And that's part of Mrs. Green's role. I am so happy to have two people in studio tonight from the U of A. Jake Knight is a graduate research assistant from the Office of Sustainability at the University of Arizona. And Leah Edwards is a NASA space grant intern. We're going to talk about that, how that comes to be with the Office of Sustainability. She is also from the University of Arizona Office of Sustainability. And what I'd like to start with both of you is just give a little bit more background on each of you. That's my read, but tell us a little bit more about what you're doing at the U of A. Leah, do you want to start? We'll just do the whole cliche ladies first.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So I'm a NASA space grant intern, and I work in the Office of the Sustainability as a research assistant. So I receive some funding from NASA to do this research, but I work with Jake in the office. And I've always been really interested in environmental impact and sort of both its social consequences and the actual environmental consequences. So I was really excited and interested in this project from the start because it's such a great opportunity to learn both about the science behind our environmental impact and to work with people and really engage with the public in a way that we can make some difference.
And let me interject, this project that we're talking about is a green homecoming, which is huge, a major large-scale sports event sold out with every Wildcat fan that can possibly get here, and you guys are going to try to figure out how to make it more sustainable. Jake, take it from there. What are you doing?
Sure. I'm a graduate research assistant in the Office of Sustainability, but my major is in hydrology and water resources, so I'm working towards a master's in that. And what ties the two together for me is this applied research, this framework of finding an answer to a problem that exists and that hopefully helps the planet and helps people's experiences. But this project, we're actually calling it Project Pawprint now.
Love it, because we're Wildcats. I got to write that down. Okay, Project Pawprint. Great. Yeah.
And basically, we're doing a life cycle assessment of homecoming weekend. So not just the day of the game, not just the game itself and the tailgate, but everything before and after the game in that life cycle, that cradle-to-grave time period of the event. And it is a great project because it requires many, many students. So it's very high in student engagement and applied research on campus, using the campus as a living laboratory, as they say. And doing this assessment to find out what the impacts are of homecoming and then finding sort of creative solutions to how we might decrease those impacts and increase the value of the event.
And I think it would be great if you, even if you want to take turns, about the magnitude and scope of what the things you have to look at. It's not just weighing the garbage after the game.
Right.
There are so many components. You can tell your story about the light bulb man, Fernando. You can tell your stories, Leah, but why don't you each give a little bit of information about the kinds of things so people understand there. This is minutia. This is scientific data down to almost the microbial level. I'm barely kidding.
Sure. Well, I guess a unique thing about this project is that we're doing an inventory-based life cycle assessment. So like you said, we're building this inventory from the bottom up of every product and process that we can find and then applying impacts to those products and adding them up. So I guess, the biggest thing we found was travel. It was about 72% of overall impacts. And it's an interesting problem because it's homecoming, not staying at home. In the mind of an organizer of homecoming, the best event possible is one in which the most number of people come from furthest away.
People are excited about it already. There's a big buzz in the town and people flying in for the weekend and home parties. So yeah, it's we are wildcat country here.
Yeah, we got some great data from athletics that Leah could talk about. They basically gave us zip codes associated with every ticket order to the game last year. And I'll explain sort of how we calculated the impacts that way.
Right. So we, using the zip code data, we were able to figure out the approximate distance that everyone was traveling from their home to homecoming. And we also gave out surveys during tailgating to sort of get an estimate of how people were getting to homecoming. Were they flying? Were they driving? Were they biking or walking? And so that gave us both distance information and then means of travel information. And so we were able to model approximately, you know, people traveling from this distance are most likely to be flying in there. And we were able to calculate that for all the attendees for homecoming and actually map it out. And you can really see on the map that homecoming has a global presence. We actually did have people traveling internationally to the event, and every corner of the country had representation.
I am not surprised. I do admit to having goosebumps because I believe that's what the Wildcat fan is all about. But I didn't think of that assessment in looking at the carbon footprint, and I should have. It's the biggest.
It is
the biggest. Okay, and we're going to do a call to action at the end of the show about what people can do to really reduce that and some thoughts that you have on that. And then, Leah, talk about, there was another story that they gave me in the notes that I thought was really great about, there's a lot of garbage involved.
Right.
We have to talk a little bit about the garbage. So how much assessment do you get involved in with the garbage? What are you going to do? People just, there's so much food waste. There's so much trash, and it's, you know, styrofoam and plastic and
Right. So one thing we were really interested in this assessment was the materials that went into it. Everything from how many plastic water bottles are people using, how much food are they eating, everything of that sort. But of course, after that, all of that ends up either in the trash or recycling or something somewhere along the line. And so we're addressing this in two ways this year. First, we're going to have composting and recycling at homecoming. So everyone attending has the opportunity to divert waste out of our landfills. But we also are going to be trying to determine the contents of the waste so that we can get a better idea of what exactly we are throwing away and recycling. And so I'll be working to conduct a waste audit of homecoming.
I am not signing up as a volunteer for that.
Oh, come on. It's fun.
Not that bad.
Okay. So, and you wear gloves.
Right. Yes. We wear gloves and we'll be going through and figuring out the literally opening up trash bags, recycling bags, compost bags, and figuring out what contents are going into them. Is it mostly plastic, mostly paper, that sort of thing, a lot of food waste. And this is helpful both for our assessment and calculating what the environmental impact would be of all of this waste, but it's also helpful for education. If you know that most people are throwing away plastic and that it's recyclable, then that's a good place to start educating people about those materials.
Did I read somewhere that you're actually going to the extent of asking some of the food vendors about the ingredients and their recipes? Did I make that up?
Right. So we wanted to calculate the impact of all the food that's eaten at homecoming. And there's a lot of events going on the entire week and a lot of food is served, thousands of meals. And so we wanted to assess this impact, but you can't really just look up what is the environmental impact of a burrito. So we actually figured out the impact of all of these different ingredients and then got the ingredients of all the meals served and used that to sum up the overall impact of food. So that was a lot of data processing right there.
That's great. So I think people get the food part, the plastic part, the recycling part, paper waste. Jake, give us a couple of others. I'll bet you never thought about that, like the light bulb. Let's do a little shout out to Fernando because people don't think, I wonder how many light bulbs are going to be on and what the energy use is going to be, thus the environmental impact.
Well, at some of these events that Leah alluded to, there's about 23 major homecoming events, which is everything from departmental reunions to different alumni groups and everything like that. They're all taking place in like the ballroom at the student union or at different rooms around campus. And so we wanted to find out what the energy load was at these events. And so I did a little bit of calling around and talked to a few different people in facilities management at the U of A. And one of them told me, oh, you have to talk to Fernando. He knows all of them. I said, really? And so I called him. And I said, we're looking for, you know, the wattages of different bulbs. We're doing an audit to sort of figure out the energy load. And he says, oh, what room do you want to know?
No way.
Okay. I was taken aback.
For all facilities at the U of A?
Yeah. Oh, and so I started listing the rooms that these events were at. And he said, well, you're going to see a 65-watt fluorescent bulbs in the, middle and 35-watt incandescent along the side. And we
Did
went.
Did you start taking copious notes?
Yeah. Well, we went to all the rooms, and he was exactly right. And so he had this amazing institutional knowledge of all the bulbs that were in the campus, but that really helped us come up with the impacts, at least from the energy use of all these auxiliary
You events. Have to tell Fernando that he got a shout out on the show. That just kind of blows me away. What are some of the other things that we might not think about? And I want to watch the time because we have to get to student engagement. We have to get to, what is the other part? Wildcat Planet. Sure. But what are some of the other components? Are there any other surprises that we wouldn't think of? Water usage, obviously.
Sure.
And what are you going to do? Like measure how many times the toilets get flushed and what other water usage are you looking at?
Well, we're not doing a restroom audit.
Thank God.
But we do have utility data from the buildings,
okay, so
and especially
can measure
from the
how
stadium.
Much water is
yes,
used.
So
right,
we get metered
right.
Data for that, and that goes into the assessment. But another main area of homecoming is accommodations. So after the 72% of the total impacts that was transportation, the next 20% or so is from staying in hotels, and they're very energy intensive places. We've been working with the Marriott and the A-Loft, which are
right
the two
there.
Closest, and they have blocks of rooms for alumni there. So alumni that might be listening to this might be staying there. But we're working with them to offer some green choices, and it ties into the Wildcat Planet theme of homecoming, and so it's good for everyone. Leah also looked at the menu items at the Marriott and sort of called out specific items that could have a sustainable spotlight or a Wildcat Planet choice that people could select if they're eating at the restaurant there, or that the organizers can select for their events that are being held there.
So that's perfect. Leah, give some examples of what would be a really nice green, you know, a planet choice, a good one at those restaurants. That's good for all of us to know.
Right. So I would try to look at the relative impact of all these different menu items. And some things that I would consider is whether or not the ingredients were local or
right.
if they were organic, that definitely has a measurable
Plus.
Decrease in impact. The tortillas at the Marriott, for example, are all locally produced. And so that's, you know, that's great if you're getting a burrito, something of that sort.
Another plus, right.
I'd also look at perhaps how much cooking time or how much heating went into it in terms of energy use. If something has to be heated all the time, that's that definitely requires more energy. We would also look at sort of the ingredients that go into it. There's some food items that are a little bit lower impact than others, like certain seafoods, for example, have a relatively high impact. And so if you can look at maybe substituting that for other options like chicken instead of shrimp or something like that, those are some things we would look into. But all those
chicken being the better choice
in this instance, yes. It depends so much on sourcing and everything.
Right.
I mean, it's difficult to tell, but
And I had a guest on named Andy Sharpless, who started Oceana. That's doing massive international work on oceans. He said, shrimp? We can't eat shrimp anymore. That's it. There's no such thing. There's no good shrimp. So I go around telling my friends that because that's another show. But anyway, so chicken. I'm glad you said chicken instead of shrimp, especially if it's free-range chicken and cruelty-free. I would like that too.
We're also looking at making marginal improvements as well because although some of us might really like a kale salad or something like that, a lot of people that are coming to homecoming, that's not really their cup of tea. And so, of course, there's a lot of beef products used during homecoming. And one thing we're promoting is that the UA Ag Center raises grass-fed, all-natural beef.
They do, and they sell it to the public.
Yes.
They're great.
And so we're working with organizers to source their beef from there. And it's great because it takes out virtually all of the transportation impacts. It's local.
Right down the street.
It's organic and grass-fed, very high-quality beef. But it also ties into the UA branding and the UA and the theme of Wildcat Planet and being at homecoming. So in that way, it really increases the value of the event that an alumni coming for a dinner here will probably go home, and one of the things they'll probably remember is that they got to try this great this beef that was raised right on the UA Ag Center.
I know that I've been down to that center and asked them about the whole life cycle and how nice are you to the beef and what to the cows and what happens right up at the end. I mean, they thought I was crazy, but they were very nice answering my questions. It's a great place to visit and a place to source your beef. Okay, talk about Wildcat Planet. What is Wildcat Planet? Go into that a little bit more detail.
Well, I would say the most defining feature of Wildcat Planet is the student engagement. Building a life cycle assessment inventory is very data intensive, and so it requires many, many students with different talents and interests. And so my latest count is we've had over 130 students working in this project, including 100 students from Management Information Systems 111 Honors class. Their professor, Bill Newman's, involved LCA into their curriculum so they could build basically work plans and how they would collect this data and to look at the overall life cycle assessment of an event. And so we had 100 students that were able to go to all of these events last year. We've also had Leah and another NASA Space Grant intern last year, Celeste Belletier, who were able to learn how to use this life cycle assessment software and to basically crunch all the numbers and come up with the impacts. We have a visual design student that helps create our infographics, and we have
Everybody loves infographics. It's always my highest likes on Facebook. People love those little pictures. Just tell me what it says, and here we are. Yeah. So they're going to be, I think, critical for your research. Yeah. But let me ask you this. Do you know this? And I never try to stump anybody. What is the breakdown of people that go to the game of students versus alumni? You know what I mean? Non-students would be a better word because they're not all alumni. Do you know what the breakdown is?
Well, it's at least 10,000 students. We have the largest student section in the country, which is Zona Zoo. And so that's a block right there that is virtually all students.
So they can have a major impact, and there are far more of them at the parties.
Well, you'll see some of these alumni. They're having a good time.
They are having it. That is right. Having a good time is right.
But Zona Zoo's been great. They're really they've been very interested in improving the environmental performance of their tailgate event, which hundreds of students come to. They are basically doing zero waste style events where they have composting and terracycling, where you recycle chip bags and things like that.
Awesome.
And they're working with Greening the Game and with Conquest Cats, which are two other student groups that have been very involved in this project as well.
And, you know, I know one of the local distributors, I'm just going to talk about it because they're a supporter of Mrs. Green, but Golden Eagle, they have Budweiser. Does it help when there's aluminum beer in aluminum bottles versus giving out major cups of beer? Because I saw that at one of the games that, you know, Budweiser is trying to do more aluminum bottles.
Right. Aluminum is one of the easiest materials to recycle. It's very easy to break down, very easy to reuse. And so from that sense, aluminum's a really great way to go. Plastic obviously is recyclable, but it's a little bit more energy intensive. And I think more people might be aware of the fact that aluminum is recyclable than perhaps some plastics. It can be hard to tell. Some numbers may not be that sort of thing. And so from that sense, I think aluminum's a good material to use.
So there's engaging the students, which is really massively underway. There's engaging the faculty, which seems to be happening. And then your reach wants to be the people who attend. So you're going to be working on that. In the journey up to here so far, have there been any big surprises or things that want to make you both laugh out loud that you can think about? Because it is really, I love to know like little anecdotes. Fernando is one of those anecdotes. But were there any surprises along the way of things as scientists that look at data? Was there anything that you said, I just never thought that this was going to be such an impact, or I thought this had more of an impact, or isn't this a funny one?
One thing that I was surprised about was, so going up to homecoming of these 23 events, like we mentioned, and there's so much food served and so much, even tailgating, if you include that, there's so much waste and just so much material being generated. But when you looked at it in terms of like percentage impacts, it's still a relatively small percent. So much of it is travel. And so there, I was just surprised to see all of the material being generated and realize that when you look at the big picture, it's still pretty pretty small.
I will tell you that it's that I should have had that firm grasp on the obvious that travel is the biggest impact. I mean, I have a real greeny friend, like very vegan, greeny, and I'm eating far less meat. And she said, but if you fly one flight across the country, it kind of neutralizes not eating meat for a year. So travel, we have to remember that that's such an impact. Yeah. When I go to the U of A games, like the basketball games, we try now, if there's two couples or three couples, we might take a bigger car, but six of us go down there together. Is that the kind of thing you'll be advocating? Is if you're not really hosting a tailgate, you don't need your own car. What other kinds of things they can do? Bus routes and sure. things that are not easy for people that are in their rut of, I want my car, I'm going to drive down there, I want to leave when I want. Sure. Talk about some of the changes that our listeners could entertain because they care about making a difference.
Well, if anyone's coming from the Phoenix area, the Alumni Association reserves charter buses.
They have lots more fun.
Yeah, they have three. Yeah, exactly. And you are allowed to bring your own drinks on the bus.
There you go. It's like, there you go. It's safe driving.
Yeah. And there's three or four stops in Phoenix, and they come and they show up a few hours before the game, and then the bus leaves back to Phoenix a half hour, an hour after the game. So that's a really good option for a lot of people because that's Phoenix was the area of the most attendees coming from outside of Tucson. Of
and course. They can find out through the Phoenix Alumni Association for the Wildcats.
If you go to the Alumni Association website of the UA, you can find
it
there.
So that's a really good one.
Sure. Another good one is if anyone is listening in Los Angeles, and because UCLA is our opponent this year at homecoming, we have we're members of Zimride, Zimride. And that is a sort of a social network car sharing or ride sharing program, which U of A and UCLA are both partners in. And so you can go on that website, and if you are driving or planning to drive, you can post your route and you can find someone to share the gas money with
You're kidding.
Oh, it's a great program.
That is a great program. Now, how do they find that out? On your website?
Just go to Zimride.com. And I believe it's .com, but it is Zimride. And look for the UA Homecoming. There's a special URL on their site where you can find it and post a ride. Or if you're looking for a ride, you can post that and someone might find you.
That's a good idea and more fun and makes the trip far less boring. Sure. I have two daughters that live in L.A., and like that is the trip from hell, if you ask me. It's like there's nothing going on between here and L.A. except desert. Sure. So that's another good thing. Okay, so Zimride for people from L.A., a lot of people from there come.
I'm sure there will be. They have a very good team this year.
UCLA, yes.
I'm sure that they travel.
Right. Yes. Okay, and then people that live in Tucson, carpool, that's a good one. Yes. And aren't there buses from different places in Tucson that you can go?
You can use the Tucson bus system. There's stops around campus.
Do they have buses anymore from Elkhorn? They used to. They would have buses there. I don't know if they do that anymore because they're really, that system is really being taxed financially. So I doubt they have SunTran, you know, signed up for the Wildcat rides.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. So that's another thing they can do. What about when homecoming is over? Talk about some of the things that you're going to be looking for and how long is it going to take? You're going to be measuring waste, sorting it. So tell us about some of the details and who's on board for that and how long do you think it will take?
It should be a shorter process this year than last year. We were really sort of figuring everything out last year doing our baseline assessment where we didn't try to change anything. We just tried to understand the system and collect all the data. So we're collecting all the data again this year and trying to show the improvements that we can attribute to some of these strategies. But I'll let Leah speak to this because she's working on an honors thesis, which will incorporate some of the results of this project.
Right. So this sort of inventory-based life cycle assessment hasn't really been done on this scale before. And so...
Like anywhere?
There was in University of British Columbia did it, this sort of assessment for a much smaller event. It was about a 500-person basketball game.
Right.
So we're looking at like 50,000 people. It's much larger. And so I'm writing my honors thesis on the methodology and how you actually do calculate this impact and how you go through all the data. And so last year, we spent a lot of time looking at, well, how do you model travel? How do you look at, take this sort of bottom-up approach to looking at food and looking at materials? And last year, it took a lot of time, months and months and months, to go through all of this data. But I think this year, because we've already sort of set up the models, we've already figured out how we're going to do everything, it's going to be more of an issue of taking the new data and putting it into our previous our previous system. And then, but having the sort of that consistent methodology is also really helpful because it makes the results more comparable.
You know, one of my things, my total focus in my journey with Mrs. Green is eliminating use of plastic water bottles. That being said, when you are at a football game and it is hot and they have restrictions about the containers you can bring in, so that's an issue. Do you guys, in your young, brilliant minds, see solutions for that? Because that's one of the things that stumps me. I think in, like, Chapman is they're a sponsor of mine. So every time you go into a car dealership, you get a thing of cold water. Sure. We're trying to change that culture and give them a reusable bottle and have enough water stands around it. Mm-hmm. What do you see as a solution? There's never going to be, in my mind, and I'm Mrs. Green, who likes to dream of a greener life, a more sustainable planet. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what are we going to do to replace that water bottle at large scale events like this, of which there are many? Mm-hmm. I mean, water stations, can you see somebody getting up and going refilling their water bottle? It would be nice. Mm-hmm. I would do it.
Yeah. Like you said, it really would be changing the culture, not just to be willing to receive a reusable bottle and using it, but you might end up with 20 of them at home. So you have to change the culture to the point where everyone brings their own bottle. That was something we didn't get to this year, but there are vendors out there which will bring hydration stations to large events. And so that's something that we would recommend going forward that we look into. I believe Greening the Game, that UA student group, was looking into doing that as a partnership with a certain company. I can't remember the name.
And eventually, will you have impact on vendors that say you'll be able to say to them, it's okay if you serve on paper plates and use paper cups, but styrofoam is not going to be acceptable if you're a vendor? Will you be able to have that kind of impact? Because styrofoam is far worse of an environmental impact than a paper plate.
Sure.
Is that kind of things that you ultimately think you'll be able to get to?
Yeah, that would be really a top-down approach, and we don't quite have that authority in our,
right.
we're the student researchers in the room, but we are contacting the vendors and letting them know that there is this opportunity that their materials can be composted, and we're getting good feedback from that they really want to fit into the goals and the values of the event. And so I think we'll find out after this homecoming, but I think we'll be very successful in that.
And hopefully it'll have a lot of support from the U of A sports people, because I think they care. I mean, let's hope that they'll see that, maybe even just the data, and say, yeah, if they put it out there to the vendors that in order to be a vendor, you have to have corporate social responsibility, yeah, it'll happen. It's like Whole Foods saying you have to label your ingredients. We don't say they can be GMO or not, but it's kind of the same thing, where once you have the data and the information, it'll be good.
Yeah.
What is some of did you have any shockers last year that you found out that you wanted to share that you're hoping to have an impact on in the 2 minutes we have left?
I don't know about shockers, but I guess one thing I was thinking earlier when you talked about the attendee experience at homecoming was that a great thing about making events more sustainable is that you have this huge built-in audience of people to reach. And so at the homecoming tailgate on the west side of Cherry Street, the west side of the mall on UA campus, there's all these tents which host parties, tailgate parties for different groups. And we're going to Office of Sustainability will have our own tent. And so we'll have some infographics which you can come see, which talk about the project and offer different ways that attendees can use to sort of green up their event experience. But we're also going to have some really fun things, like the UA Cycling Club will be with us, and we'll be riding power generating bicycles.
Love it.
Yeah. So
love it. Okay. So it'll be engaging people.
Right. It's so easy to flip on a switch, but when you actually have to produce the energy yourself, it gives you a much broader appreciation for the energy that goes into that.
Oh my gosh, so that's great. So try to carpool for people that are listening here. Go for Zimride if you're coming from LA. Those are good things. And then come see your tent if you're going to the game to
Absolutely.
See what's happening. Be aware. Use the recycle bins. Lots of calls to action there. Okay, everybody, this has been a great show. I am so thrilled to have had Leah and Jake on. Thank you very much. I'm excited, and I hope you'll keep in touch with what you're doing.
Of course.
Next week, S. Green School. It's just around the corner from us. Moses Thompson, who's a counselor at Monzo Elementary, is coming. I love all my guests, but when my guests involve schools and kids, it gets me really excited. Please be a part of our show next Tuesday at 7 and make it a great green week and thank carpooling for homecoming. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks very much.